How many times have our patients returned to our office and are just stuck in the cycle of chronic inflammation? We throw everything we have at them, nothing changes, and even our dentists are frustrated. Rather than throwing our hands up and shrugging, we need to be turning to PerioTrace by PerioProtect. I have seen the evidence firsthand and have helped so many hygienists find this resource because it really works, which is why there are so many products on the market now trying to imitate them. The results are speaking for themselves, but rather than going with an unproven product, stick with the only periodontal medicine delivery system cleared by the FDA. And not only that, but their support team is seriously among the best I've ever encountered, from the education to implementation to support when there's the inevitable bumps on the road. They are there for you. If you want to get in contact with them to learn more about how you can treat your patients better, head over to perioprotect.com/RDH. And on that site, at the bottom is a contact form that you can fill out or simply email them directly to ask for help. This is one thing I truly believe should be in every dental practice. perioprotect.com/RDH to stop the cycle of chronic inflammation.
I also feel like it's a time for me to fill my cup with people. I get so much fulfillment networking and so much inspiration with networking with hygienists from across the country.
You will always find something more that is very, very important to add into your course to make it more beneficial towards your students and to make better hygienists. That's our long-term goal, right? Make our profession better.
I'm hoping that's the way of education now, as the world of education just changes in general, because it totally looks different than it did 2 years ago, than it looked like 15 years ago. So as education changes, hopefully that collaboration between schools can help and grow and help each other be better.
Get ready for your unofficial dental hygiene podcast. These are the tales of two hygienists, one East Coast RDH and one West Coast Guygenist. Listen as they tackle the profession of dental hygiene with humor and enthusiasm. Now, please join Michelle Strange and Andrew Johnston as they tell you a tale of two hygienists.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of A Tale of Two Hygienists. Everyone, this week we have an amazing episode. We're having another takeover of the podcast by the wonderful people over at Hygiene Edge. We're so thankful for our partnership with them. You guys are going to love what they're bringing for you. If you haven't caught on, every month they're giving a little something to our audience, whether it's a tip episode or, in this case, a full-length episode. They are amazing clinicians. They're amazing educators. They have an amazing platform built to help everyone else. So please go check them out, support them, and thank you again to them for supporting us in our podcast efforts and bringing the knowledge to the people. Without further ado, here is Hygiene Edge. Before we get to the interview, we want to say a big thank you to Paradise Dental Technologies, or PDT, for supporting the continuing education portion of this podcast for so many years. If you do not know already, many of our full-length episodes count for CE. You'll find the links in the show notes, or you can sign up for our newsletter by going to ataleoftwohygienists.com. When you sign up for the newsletter, we will periodically send out links to shows that have expiring CE courses attached. And none of this could be possible without the support of the amazing people over at PDT. So check out their hygiene and other instruments at pdtdental.com. That's pdtdental.com. Now, on to the interview.
The song from the movie Frozen has been going through my mind lately. When Olaf is prancing around singing about his favorite season, summer. And today, here we are, Jessica Atkinson, Shelley Brown, and Malia Lewis with Hygiene Edge, talking to you about what dental hygiene educators do to get ready for the summer, or what we do in the summer. Just all about summer, that season of melting snowmen. So let's start off with a sad realization I had the other day when looking at my calendar. I counted how many days I'm actually going to be at home from May 20th to August 9th. 18 days. 18 days! That's insane! Very few days.
That's how many days you get off?
No, that's how many days I'm actually going to be at home.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So last year, during the year of COVID and shutdown, all the conferences I usually go to, all of the places I usually go to, all of a sudden were in my living room. And I spent a lot of time at home. And I think in the excitement, I may have overbooked myself. Anyway, a few of those things are continuing education courses. There are at least 3 weeks of my summer that will be dedicated to continuing education. So I want to start a little bit telling you all about how I kind of formulate my summer, why I formulate my summer the way I do. Granted, this summer is a little more intense than I necessarily anticipated, but continuing education is a necessary part of not only being an educator, but being a professional. And for me, I teach particular didactic courses where our accreditation body requires that I take continuing education that are relevant to those courses. So there are certain conferences that I make sure that are on my radar in order to get my CE requirements filled. What do you guys do as far as looking for CEs and how to navigate that in your summertime?
So I don't know, like I used to work for a dental company and did a little bit of like consulting with them. And they always said summer was show season. So summer is definitely the time that a lot of dental conferences, a lot of meetings happen because it's nice to travel in those seasons, right? It's not freezing. So if you go to Chicago or New York, it's not freezing. And a lot of people are willing to travel in the summer. They might have a little bit more time or be able to take off work more than they could in the winter months, especially like November, December, because the holidays, but then the end of insurance year is really, really busy. So it's all about conferences and shows in the summer, which I'm actually great with. They're definitely fun to go to.
All about the swag.
I honestly think this year everyone's like really excited to get out of their living room and see people and talk to people in person. So I think a lot of people are going to these big shows. I'm super interested to see how they're going to turn out and what's going to happen and how the flow is going to look. But honestly, just I like to pick out the biggest conferences in the country and go to those ones because they always bring out the best speakers, the best sponsors. And a lot of times that these conventions launch new products. And that's always fun for me as a hygienist in Hygiene Edge, but also as an educator, to see what's new and what's coming and how dentistry has changed. So
I love that.
Those are the big ones for me, is to look at the biggest shows. And then I like to go around just to the local ones too, because they're close and it's so fun to connect and network with people from all over the country. But honestly, my favorite is just the people in my area, because I get to see them more. We totally can talk about what's happening in Utah, because we're in Utah, and work together for change here in our home state, because that's going to honestly affect us maybe more. I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say that, but it can affect us on our day-to-day a lot more, I feel like. So those are the biggest things. I like to go to the big shows and then the ones close to home.
Agreed. I unfortunately don't really get a summer. My school where I teach at is year round. And so I'm always trying to sneak in those courses on weekends. And sometimes I have to cut out a day of clinic here and there. So I'm a little bit jealous. You get a little bit more time to do some of those CE courses. But yeah, even, you know, so what I call my summers, I'm definitely looking into the same thing, those classes that apply to the classes that I teach, and trying to find those and seek those out on my breaks as well. So
I'm really excited about a course I'm taking on particularly teaching head and neck anatomy, a course I'm taking on the things that have a teaching flair, a teaching focus. I also enjoy the continuing education that have just content about the classes I'm teaching. I, however, am really excited about the teaching focused courses, the pedagogy, the all of the curriculum kind of focus. So that's going to be exciting for me this particular summer. Are there any courses that you're particularly looking forward to?
I was going to ask you the same thing, Jessica. Where do you find these courses? You know, are they one that's put out by the American Dental Hygienists Association? I know that I've been to several continuing education courses there for educators in particular, but are there ones that you're going to in person? Are these ones that you're finding online? Like, where are you finding these?
For me, I love in person, mostly for the networking. And I crave seeing the people that I know and love. And so I prefer an in-person. The particular one I was telling you about is from Educators Platform. So it's a focused educators CE platform. It's a hygienist from New Mexico. And I want to make sure I get her name correct for you. She noticed that we as educators could use a location to learn about our content with a class focus particularly. I went to their first conference and I really enjoyed it. And so they put out some new CEs that I signed up for. And it's bringing me to my login. And I really want to share with you her name because it was so great. It was so good. Let's see here. Educators Platform. It's about adapting. Let's see here. In a modern world of teaching. Why am I not getting her name? I bet if I put I'll go on our Facebook page, we can look at it. But that's one area. And then one of our favorite people of the land, Emily Bogie, has also started Gelled with Dr. Joy, and that's another resource. That currently is a free resource, and I can't toot that horn hard enough.
I know. I've been listening to all of those as well.
Yes, and they're fantastic. And I feel that Educators Platform has a similar motive to really give educators a place to have concentrated or focused CE. And the platform is a little more of a CE course feel versus with Gel Ed, it's the Facebook Lives get on, which is awesome and definitely a place for that. And I'm so grateful that they are willing to do free content, to be honest. The Educators Platform is not free content. It is also just as good a content as the Gel Ed. So that's where I've gotten the educator focused CE, and that's currently online. But whenever I go to a conference, I'm definitely looking for situations where there may be an educator's track, but I don't want to do just educator focus. Like Malia said, it's really exciting to learn about new products. It's really exciting to learn the latest and greatest science about the products that our students and ourselves can be using in practice. So I don't want to pigeonhole myself just in education, but I do know that there are certain requirements as far as code is concerned that I need to fulfill. And I also have, as I'm on tenure track at the university that I work at, there are certain requirements that I need to fulfill to fulfill my contract. So there's scholarship and service and a number of things that also fill my summer, and the continuing education course is a part of that. So I will let you know when I get that.
A lot of times, like, I'll learn different things in the courses that I attend and stuff, but I temp a lot in the summer. I don't know about you guys, but I'll fill in for a lot of my friends in the summer and or offices that I really love to work at. And then I can apply those things that I look in those courses into my temping jobs. So I don't know if you guys temp a lot, but or I've heard a lot of educators will kind of temp here and there at past offices just to stay in the clinic and kind of keep those skills fresh and then see some of their old favorite patients again.
The lifeblood of our profession, patient care. I love it. I also wanted to make note is we do a lot of work with Hygiene Edge over the summer. That's a time when we can get together and get some footage or work on networking. That's a huge thing that we do with big conferences is we're doing a lot of networking.
Yeah. Researching, writing, And a lot of educators do that too, just researching during the summer, writing articles, writing things for their university to help their university grow, but then it also help their tenure
situation
experiences. Yeah. I don't know how to, yeah.
Those summer breaks. Sorry, Jess. I was going to say those summer breaks too. The summer breaks too are really great to build up any, I guess, course goals. For example, on one of my breaks, I really wanted to do like a flipped classroom style, but that requires you to like record yourself kind of lecturing, and then they watch the lecture at home, and then we do activities in the class. That was for a board review class that I was putting on, and I feel like those like summer breaks are the big times to be able to work on big projects that you have kind of set aside for the rest of the year. I know that's sometimes hard to work on your break. You have to find balance there, that's for sure, but that's always the time that I find to build up the course, I guess I could say, make changes and make it better.
I mean, science says that the days in summer are longer, but I do not feel that way. I feel like I have a huge list at the beginning of summer of all the things I want to accomplish. And before you know it, you're 2 weeks away from school starting. And so you're right. We have courses that we're consistently working on during the time that you're teaching the course, you're working on it. But then you have a break, where you actually dig deep. You might change the format. You might change objectives. You might look at different active learning styles that you want to incorporate. And that's where you can make those changes before you start. I found her name. She's also an educator. Her name is Vicky Pizanis. Please bless, I said that right for you, Vicky, if you're listening to this. I really hope I said that right. And Vicky probably started the educator platform during a summer break. These are the kinds of things that we do when you finally get a little bit of breathing room. This is where you can be more creative. And I think with education's kind of like laundry or the dishes. They're never done, and there's more you can do. I don't know about you, but I try to buy clothing that can't be ironed or shouldn't be ironed, because ironing doesn't usually be done or isn't usually done for my clothing. I'm actually recording in my closet looking at the clothing that I could probably iron. And I think about the summer as the time to do the ironing. Like, you're in class and clinic all the year and you're getting all these ideas. And I have on my desktop a folder that says what I learned or what to change. And I just populate that with things that I want to do differently in my course for the next year. And the summer is when you do that ironing.
Yeah. After every class, I'm always writing down like what to change, what to add. And I'll make those changes sometimes as I go throughout the next time that I teach it.
Ideally.
But there's a lot of times that, you know, those certain things need a little more time. So yeah, while sometimes it's nice to take a break, you're always thinking about teaching and setting those goals and changing things. And as much as I want my classes to, the very first time I taught, I thought I'll get it down. It'll be perfect. I put my heart and soul into it. And then every time I've taught for like 7 years now, every class I've changed something or several things. And it's ever changing. And that's why in the summer we go to these CE courses, we learn new things and we're like, oh my gosh, I love how they taught that. Or I need to add that in. That's new updated research. You know, you will always find something more that is very, very important to add into your course to make it more beneficial towards your students and to make better hygienists. That's our long-term goal, right? Make our profession better.
Has there ever been a CE course that you sat in over the summer and gone, I've got to totally change what I've been doing. This was so great. And now I've got to change.
Yeah, definitely. I think we all attended one at ADHA 2 or 3 years ago. And it was by the people that you work with, Brenda.
Yeah. Shout out to Brenda and Kim.
Right. And there were tons of educators in the room, and we were all networking and giving ideas of how we were teaching certain things and different things. And they shared ideas with us on how to, you know, do certain aspects and different techniques of teaching. And it was all from a textbook. I'll have to get the name of the textbook.
Cats.
I forgot what it was. Yeah. And I ordered it because I was like, oh my gosh, I got to implement some of these things because different classes need different activities. That's for sure. And so it's nice to have a lot of different options on different activities. We'll have to do a podcast on some of those one of these days.
To interview Kim and Brenda on active learning techniques. I'll ask them. Some clinicians, I mean, teachers, some educators don't stop. Like you, Shelley, you go throughout the summer and you're in a semester, actually an accelerated bachelor program. So you actually have a number of classes that are going on during the summer, both clinic and didactic. I know for our university, we have a bachelor's program. So there is also a summer semester, but our summer semester is online classes. And so there are educators that teach throughout the summer online. Malia, tell us a little bit about teaching online.
When it comes to teaching online and prepping online, it has so much to do with just like you would in a didactic in-person class. And I'm sure everyone has realized that this year because everyone has taught online. Sometimes it's even more prep because you're having to write down all your content and film yourself and create learning objectives and making active learning online, which is a totally new ballgame for a lot of hygiene educators. But it's actually kind of fun to think about education in a different way. But there is a lot of prep work. We do everything online. And a lot of times it's a lot of emailing back and forth, which is sometimes hard. Sometimes in person, someone can ask a question, you can answer them really quick, or they can come to your office and you can answer them right away. And then you can send out a big email for everyone to hear it. But with online classes, especially 100% online, when you're not on campus, sometimes you'll get the same question 4 or 5 times in an email. So it's lots of emailing back and forth and keeping that communication open when you're far away from each other, which is something to get used to, but it's actually kind of fun.
Something I noticed about my online courses versus a didactic course in class is in class, my class is Tuesday and Thursday, 9:30 to 10:50 or whatever, right? For my online courses, it was almost as if my course is all of the time. There are emails coming at all kinds of times. And it's important for educators to have certain boundaries when it comes to those online courses because it can become all consuming. You could work on it all of the time.
Yes. And the one nice thing is that you can constantly work on it and change things like week to week. But then it's also, you have to check in every day, at least for a little bit, to keep up on your emails and keep up on your content and keep up on questions. Because yeah, there's so many little moving parts that you kind of have to watch every single day. So it definitely has some good and bad, but it is nice to have for the freedom for the students to be able to go and come. We also have our bachelor completion has quite a few working hygienists. They work clinically, not 8 to 5, 5 days a week. So it gives them an opportunity to finish their bachelor's in the evening. But that means I'm available in the evening too, to have Zoom meetings and answer questions and answer emails. So there's definitely kind of a balance you have to make when you teach online to those kind of students.
And that's the reality for a lot of educators, summers online, or like Shelley, actually at school. I do know that you do get some break, but it's just not the same time. So I'm glad you still get a break so you can fill your cup.
2 to 3. Speaking of 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah. Speaking of filling your cup, I feel that summertime is a time for educators to fill their cup. Fill their cup with new education on how to improve their courses, how to improve the knowledge of the subjects they're teaching, or even the curiosities that they have in the dental space in general. I also feel like it's a time for me to fill my cup with people. I get so much fulfillment networking, and so much inspiration with networking with hygienists from across the country. So Shelley brought up the course that Brenda Armstrong and Kim Jensen gave at ADHA a few years ago, and the opportunity that we had to sit with different hygiene educators all in one room and talk about how we teach effectively and what we can do to be better. And I still think back on that experience and draw ideas from that. Remember how different places do different things, because one hygiene school is not the same as another. We all have a similar vein, and we all have the same quota requirements, and we all are teaching the same thing, but there are a number of ways to apply that, and to learn from each other is really something I look forward to. How does the summer fill your cup?
I remember that class too very vividly, because I remember just sitting there and thinking, this is how it should be. Like, we should be talking and connecting
and sharing, and
learning from each other and sharing. Why are we reinventing the wheel or doing something that maybe is like harder for us, you know?
So Malia, you did something. You did something around that time when that class, you created a Facebook page that is a resource I still go to.
Yeah. Well, I'm like, why aren't we doing this always? This is how it should be. Anyway, so that was a little bit pivotal for me. And I think that helped with Hygiene Edge too. I'm like, we should be talking as educators and connecting and learning and growing in a different way. Let's talk and work together and collaborate. And I'm hoping that's the way of education now, as the world of education just changes in general, because it totally looks different than it did 2 years ago, than it looked like 15 years ago. So as education changes, hopefully that collaboration between schools can help and grow and help each other be better. Because honestly, if every school gets better, that means we're going to have better hygienists in the field. Patients are going to have better care. Our profession is going to be better respected, more well-established, and then on and on. Honestly, I personally cannot view anything bad about collaboration.
Amen.
You guys can enlighten me one day.
Amen. But
I believe. That is my favorite. Oh, I would not be the kind of teacher I am without, I feel like I'm an amalgamation of many experiences and many different educators. I reach out to people I have been taught by, people I admire, and try to take the best things I have learned and put them in my courses. And I could not do what I do now if it weren't for the collaboration of other hygiene educators. I remember I reached out to Sheba Jones. She teaches in Arizona, and she had the best thing that has happened to my testing ever. It's like a test feedback form. And if there's a question on the test that a student has questions about, they have to fill out this feedback form where they find the answer or find the discrepancy and do some work to understand the content. And then I have perspective on, does this question need to be changed? Was it a good question? Was it a bad question? That totally revolutionized the way my tests went. It really did. And the students love it. I love it. It was really great. So shout out to Sheba. She also helped me hugely on objectives and course outlines. And I could name a number of hygiene educators, gratefully, I was connected with because of what you did, Malia, by making a Facebook group that said, Dental Hygiene Educators, talk here. It was the first page I'd ever seen of something like that. Did you one day just go, I think I want to do this?
Well, yeah, I think it started from that class when I was just a whole huge room of educators. And I just had this vision of, this is how it always should be. Because me as a starting educator, and I jump right into clinic. And I honestly, I'm so sorry to my first year students. I had no idea what I was doing. Like, I knew how to be a hygienist, I felt like, but I did not know how to teach it. And I did not know how to like communicate the things I wanted them to learn and to be better. And sometimes I just did it for them, which was not effective, but I didn't know what else to do. So I kind of always just wanted a mentor to help me be a better educator, be a better clinician too. And they're hard to find. But nowadays we are so lucky. We have such amazing resources with the internet that we can connect and be mentored in different ways. So even if you can't go to a convention, If the summers are too busy, if you're teaching, you can definitely reach out to people online and connect and mentor each other that way. I think it's super helpful.
That's the great thing that COVID-19 has done for us, right? Is we're really great at doing things online now and being able to collaborate over the internet. And so I think we have that great opportunity now to collaborate even more because we have had this year experience.
Yeah. Well, I think your Facebook page, Malia, where we had a platform to talk to each other, and then Dr. Joy and Emily and Lisa, their other hygienist that works with them, I do not know her well. Do you remember her last name, Shelley?
The one who works with Emily Bogie?
Yeah.
Isn't it Lori Lauder?
I just want to make sure that we're giving credit where credit is due. So if we get your name wrong, please say in the comments who you are. We love you. We're grateful. Want to make sure. But I think we started with a place to talk, and then we had the situation where we were distanced from each other physically, but we were able to connect with each other and help each other virtually. And the advent of doing something live, they just took it to a different level. And so grateful for that free content. And then Vicky taking it to a virtual conference level, which was really great for me because we had breakout sessions on Zoom, and I talked to educators from across the country in various situations, some who hadn't even been in clinic for a year, and some who have been working normally, and just talking about different ways COVID had impacted them and how they were adapting CDC guidelines in their area, depending on where they were and what their government restrictions were. It was just really fascinating and gave me a lot of perspective. And I really ended up feeling grateful for my situation and grateful for the connections and grateful for what I was learning. Like Malia, you said, I cannot see anything wrong with elevating us all together. I'm a big sharer. I'm like, share that with me. Can you share that with me? Hey, can I have that? Hey, can you show me that?
Yeah. But then you're open to sharing what you have too, like, which is the ultimate, is where you give and take, you know? So what do you guys tell your students to do in the summertime to help them if they don't have clinic in the summer or they're off campus?
Well, we were discussing, of course, like Hygiene Edge videos are a great way to stay refreshed and on your skills and techniques and maybe get a job in the dental field. Maybe somebody needs a summer temp as an assistant or front desk or something. If they haven't had any dental experience, it's a great way to earn some money and get some skills at the same time. Those are a few ideas.
Yeah. I tell them to keep their hygiene muscles up. I know that seems so silly, but I don't know if you've noticed after a break, even like a 3-week break, their hands aren't as strong anymore just being off. So making some good like stretches and hand strengthening, back strengthening, shoulder exercises throughout the summer, just so those first couple of weeks aren't so rough.
They could work on their typodonts, right? They could work on typodonts. And
yeah,
if they're allowed to take their instruments home, every school is probably a little bit different on that, on if they allow things to be checked out or not. But that is a great option as well.
Yeah. But make sure you watch our videos along with that, so you're practicing, right? Or the videos that come with a book.
Yeah, or the videos that come with a book. That's how the Hygiene Edge was born, is, hey, I'm at home. I don't have a clinical instructor right next to me, but I'm reading this. It just doesn't look right or feel right. Help! And I don't want to watch an old man from the 70s without gloves on show me how to do this, because for some reason I don't trust that very much. I just remember that there wasn't a lot of content available. There just wasn't. And now there is so much content available. Hygiene Edge videos. Watch Teeth Talk to Girl. Shout out to Winnie. Like, there are so many options for them to stay current and for them to brush up on their skills and their knowledge. Hey, listen to a Tale of Two Hygienists podcast. They have a whole line just for students. Tipisodes about perio. Like when you're on your summer, when you're on your beach, I mean, read something fun, but also maybe listen to a tip episode on gram negative bacteria, you know, for fun.
Anything like that will help you prepare for your board, you know, little, we want to keep your brain strong too. So helping students prepare for their board and not lose all of the stuff that they've learned that in that last year is super vital to keep fresh.
This summer, I've recommended that my students take their first board and get anesthesia out of the way, get their anesthesia written, done, because they just took the course, take the board during the summer, get it done.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I tell them to look for patients. I know that seems really lame because they're like, we have so much time off. But I'm like, anytime you can advocate for yourself to find patients, I would do it. I don't want you to show up the first day of school and be like, I need a patient tomorrow and I don't haven't even talked to anybody. So totally network. If you ever go to some family events or whatever, I don't know how the summer's going to look, but let people know that you're looking for patients, and these patients, especially the harder ones, you know, that haven't been in for 5 years and that smoke or maybe had history of perio, or don't be shy to do a little advertising or marketing to find these really good patients. Yeah. Literally. Yeah.
I would say that that finding patients is in the top three stressors of dental hygiene school.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd say it's the number one.
Finding patients.
For sure.
So get that going. I mean, even looking for community partners, go out there and look for groups that offer care to marginalized populations. See if you can come up with an agreement or a situation where you can let that population know what you have to offer. And I love that, Malia. Yes. Alleviate the stress. Do whatever you can to alleviate the stress that's about to happen.
Right. And I feel like as an educator, we kind of keep that same thought in mind during the summer, right? We prep, we learn, we connect, we grow through the summer, we rest, so then we can alleviate the stress for the fall.
You mean you actually maybe go on a vacation?
Hopefully. This year, at least.
Yeah. Last year, it was another walk down my street. That was excellent. I love that. Do whatever you can to alleviate the impending stress. Speaking of vacations, we also, part of prepping and part of taking the summer to refill your cup is to do something for you, to recharge, whatever that looks like. I have a family reunion this summer. I'm going with a group of friends to Myrtle Beach. I've never been to Myrtle Beach. Maybe I'll run in to people we know at Myrtle Beach. Maybe.
Maybe me.
Yeah, that'd be great, Shelly. Come to Myrtle Beach. That'd be awesome. Yeah, who knows? Maybe I'll run into Michelle. That'd be cool, right? I'll be like, oh, hey, you live around here. That'd be awesome. From A Tale of Two Hygienists.
I'm from Canada, so I'm hopefully going to go to Canada if the border's open. So if anyone is in southern Alberta, I would love to hang out with you.
If they let you in. That's one thing. I'm really grateful and so excited for the vaccine to allow us to travel. I start getting really, really happy seeing that I'm going to see people at the same conferences. I'm going to be able to network with them and see them and hug them because we'll be vaccinated.
The summer of dental hygiene love, you know?
The reunions. Shelly, how are you going to recharge?
You know, I just had a little baby. And so my recharge button is to stay home, do a lot of self-care. I'm going to mow the lawn.
Do you like to mow the lawn?
I'm gonna play with my kids. Yeah, my husband hates doing yard work. So his job is to watch the children and play with them while I do the yard work, because I do like yard work. So that's the trade-off that we come up with.
I wanted to plant a tomato this year. And I realized it will die because I'm only going to be here for 18 days.
Not a great idea.
Not a great idea.
But yeah.
So our invitation to all of you dental hygiene educators is to take the summer to fill your cup. Whatever that entails, prepping, networking, learning, growing, and don't forget resting. I hope to see you on the beach and we can sing the Olaf song together. Thanks for tuning in, and we also hope to see you at the many conferences that we're all going to be at and give you a high five and a hug, and then hand sanitize right after. See you then.
Well, another great week, another great episode. We thank you all so much for listening each week. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button, whatever podcasting app you're using. Also, just a reminder, our guests are so fantastic that they love when you reach out. They love when you interact with them on social media. And you can interact with us on social media as well at Instagram or Facebook. We're also on LinkedIn. You can find us at A Tale of Two Hygienists. You can also go to our website, ataleoftwohygienists.com. And we would love for you to go there and subscribe for our newsletter. We have lots of stuff on our website. We have a learning center. You can search for any episode. This is an easy place for you to find the links for our CE courses and take the test. There's just so much more there. So head over to ataleoftwohygienists.com. And if you want, you can also send us an email. I'm Michelle at ataleoftwohygienists.com. And then there's Andrew, who is Andrew at ataleoftwohygienists.com. And we just want to say thank you so much. If you love this episode and you're loving the podcast, we would love for you to subscribe and leave us a review. And, you know, 5-star, go ahead and do it. 5-star, just hit that 5-star and then leave us a review. We really appreciate it. We love reading them. It fuels our fire and we just appreciate you guys so much. I think that's it, Andrew. Anything else?
Nope, that's it. Have a good week, everybody.
Bye, y'all.